To open up the scriptures, let's pray. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kidshanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with your commandments and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. This week we are reading from Parshat Vayechel in Exodus chapter 35, and this parsha begins with a reiteration of important themes from previous weeks. And I don't know about you, but when you read something that's repeated in the scriptures, do you sometimes think, oh, I'll just skip this, I read it before? Almost as if we don't need to see it again. Well, this week begins with reiterations, and it starts with the declaration about the importance of Shabbat, and makes it really clear, take a day of rest on the seventh day of the week, Friday sundown to Saturday sundown. Now, why should we take Shabbat? Anyone? It's good for your body, good for your mind, good for your soul. It's good for us. Is it hard to take a Shabbat? Honestly? You get used to it. Yeah, you get used to not working. With enough practice, you can learn to do it every week. Now, why would the Lord take a Shabbat? To mentor us, to be a good example for us. It says about him that he rested and was refreshed. He rested and was refreshed. So even the Lord needs refreshing. All the hard work of creation, he finished, decided to take Shabbat. And he set a pattern for us. Now the second topic that is reiterated is the terumah offering for the sanctuary. And it describes in Exodus 35 what's been said earlier, and that is that the Lord wanted to have a new sanctuary, but he wanted an offering to provide for that sanctuary from those whose hearts are willing. I like that phrase. Can you say it? Whose hearts are willing. Another way of saying it is those whose hearts stir them up. And he said, let them bring the offering, silver, gold, brass, all these fine materials. And then he says, let the skillful artists and craftsmen come and make all that the Lord has commanded for the sanctuary. And then let's go down to Exodus 35, verse 21. I love this simple statement. And they came. Everyone whose heart stirred him up and everyone whose spirit made him willing, and they brought the Lord's offering for the sanctuary, the tent of meeting, and all the ministry of the place of assembly. I think that is a fantastic statement. You know, sometimes we plan to do something and we put more effort into announcing and declaring our plans than we do in carrying them out. Or we carry them out, but we don't tell whether we had good results or we didn't have good results. The Lord said, I want to take an offering. And then he was looking for only those whose hearts were stirred. And it says, and they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up and everyone whose spirit made him willing. And they brought the Lord's offering. Now, as you go on, you'll read that they brought not only enough, they brought more than enough, so they had to stop receiving the offering. Let it be a pattern for us. When it's time for our next sanctuary, let it be that enough comes in, more than enough, so that we have to say, okay, stop. Just stop, everyone. We have more than enough. And there's a list that follows of the different kinds of responses from people. And then down to verse 30 in Exodus 35. Moses said, the Lord is called Bezalel by name, and he's filled him with the Spirit of God. This also is a reiteration. And he's given him wisdom, understanding, and knowledge in all kinds of workmanship. And then it says in verse 40, the Lord has put in his heart that he may teach both he and Oholiab, who is his assistant. And here we have a very important picture of wisdom and understanding and knowledge, and that it's practical. Wisdom is not head knowledge. Wisdom is practical knowledge. So to know about something is not the same thing as to know and be able to do that thing. Have you ever read a book and then told everybody all the things you learned in the book that were going to change your life? And then have you ever tried to do the things that you read in the book and found it's easier to read a book than it is to change your life? It's much easier to give a book report than it is to change our lives. What are some hard things to change in life? Habits. Thoughts. Oh.
Prejudice.
Nothing else. Attitudes.
Food.
Who said that? Elena. Our resident healthy eater. Who we love and appreciate. Anything else hard to change? Relationships. You know, anything you've done for a long time is hard to change. Eating habits. Mm-hmm. Exercise. Anything else? Thinking. Thinking on Friday night. That takes effort, doesn't it? You know, there are a lot of things that are easy to learn about but harder to do. And we find in Bezalel a pattern for something, and that is skillful application of learning. After this description, there's a long list of things made. Have you ever thought about why that list is in here? I did. And I realized that there are at least three good reasons for this. I'll tell you two. You can try to come up with the other one later. Number one, every detail was done correctly. Everything that's described here was done in exactly the right way. You compare that to a list of things that happened after King Saul was given instruction. And we find out that King Saul only did a few of the things the Lord asked him to do, and only a few in the way that the Lord asked him to do, but mainly he did what he wanted to do. And when the Lord confronted him through the prophet, he just said, I did everything the Lord said. And then the question was, well, what is that sound I hear of animals that you collected, and what's all that loot you've got? He said, oh, I had good reasons for that. It turned out that the Lord despised that kind of disobedience and compared it to witchcraft and sorcery, and says obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience to God is better than every sacrifice you and I can create on our own as an alternative to obedience. Okay, so that's one reason every detail was done correctly. Number two, this is the list of all the things the Lord showed Moses that Moses then had to convey to Bezalel that Bezalel then made. So this absolutely represents the inventory that was on the Lord's mind. So the Lord took it from his thought, gave it to Moses, who gave it to Bezalel, who gave it to all who he supervised, and they created exactly in the right way. It shows us something, that when we have hearts of obedience, we have skill, we have commitment, we have a willingness to work to excellence, we are actually able, by the gifting of the Holy Spirit, to accomplish what pleases God in a way that he has in mind. It's a beautiful picture for me. Now, I want to focus on this thought about teaching. It says the Lord has put in Bezalel's heart that he may teach both he and Aholiab, his assistant. Now, usually when we think of teaching, we think of a teacher in a classroom. That's one of the most common ways. How many of you have had teachers in classrooms? Could you raise your hand? How many have been a teacher in a classroom at any point? A fair number. We've all had teachers. And some of us have been teachers. How many of you have gone to a classroom where the teacher lectured you the whole time? How many of you have had boring teachers? Okay, so all of us have been in classrooms. All of us have seen teachers lecture, and all of us have had boring teachers, right? It's not to say all teachers are boring. It's not to say all lectures are boring. But this is not the kind of teaching that Bezalel did. He was not a professor. He wasn't a classroom teacher. The kind of teaching that Bezalel was engaged in was more holistic and practical. And there are other words that we have in English that better describe his teaching. Let's give some examples. Mentor. That's another way of saying it. He mentored the other artists. Another way is train. He trained them. My favorite word is not a religious word at all. It's apprentice. He apprenticed these artists. Has anybody here ever been an apprentice? A handful have been an apprentice. In that experience, when you have an apprentice, you have someone who is like equipping the apprentice. What's the name of that person? The master in a lot of trades. The trainer in some. But if you're involved in a lot of the practical trades and the skilled building trades, it would be a master. So you have a master plumber and a master carpenter and such things as this. And these are people who tell the other one what to do. The apprentice, they give them assignments, they check their work, they equip them in stages so that the person rises up in excellence and helps get the work done. So when we're thinking about Bezalel as a teacher, we have to think about him in this way, that he is the master artist of Israel, who is working with the next level. Now, these next level guys are not schlocks, and they're not schlumpy in the way they do their work. They're already excellent, but they still need supervision, and they still need direction because they have to make things according to a pattern that Moses has received from the Lord and gives to Bezalel. Well, the main thing to grasp here is this is not classroom learning. This is applicational learning, and it gives us a very valuable lesson that learning needs to integrate with action. You learn and you do. And in some ways, we could say learning hasn't even been accomplished until a person has put into practice the very thing that they have been learning. Now, I want to close with this thought. I think Torah is taking time to present this to us, to give us a pattern for something. And it's not about how to get your artwork done, even though that's described here. It's a different and a bigger picture. It's the picture that Israel is to be a learning community. A learning community. A community of learners. Now, you might look at the person next to you and try to persuade them of something, that you want to be a learner. So just take 10 seconds, look them in the eye and say, I want to be a learner, and see whether their body language shows they think you're sincere. I want to be a learner. I want to be a learner. Now, here's the interesting thing about the pattern here. The learners help others learn. Those who are committed to learning and to putting into practice what they learn, they help the others to learn. So you want to learn in such a way that you can pass on what you learn to other people, so that they can put into practice as you have put into practice. Those who have learned something well help others learn well. That's the pattern. Now, how can you be a part of a learning community? Learn, number one. Two, help others learn. Learn and help others learn. So it's not enough to be passive and receive. It's not enough even to learn for yourself, but the people of Israel has been made in such a way that we are to learn and then to share what we learn with other people. When you learn something, invite other people to do it with you. Spread it around. Tomorrow I'll share more about this, how to put into practice some of these things, and some examples about how it can work and how it doesn't always work. But I just want you to remember what Yeshua said. He wants us to be hearers and doers of the word. And he said that the ones who hear his words and put them into practice can be compared to a wise person who builds his house on rock. And when storms come, that house remains standing. And then he says that the foolish person hears his words, but what? Doesn't put them into practice. They both have the same head knowledge and awareness, but they don't have the same practice. So the separation between the wise and the foolish is not just in the hearing, it really is in the doing. Both hear, but the wise one does. The foolish one also goes through storms and his house collapses. I don't know about you. I want my house to stand. That's important if you live in Florida because we have hurricanes. And in the same way, it's important in the spirit because we have spiritual hurricanes. And it's important for you and me to remain standing. Let's just pray for this, that you and I will be people who learn and help others learn. Lord, we pray that we would be sincere learners, that we would dedicate ourselves to learning, that we would be those kinds of people who learn the way you told us to learn by hearing and putting into practice what we hear. Lord, I pray that we would not be content with knowledge that's divorced from action. Let us be those who not only hear with faith, but are faithful to do what we hear. We pray in Yeshua's name. Amen. Amen. Let's close with Aaron's blessing. Please rise. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ya'er Adonai panavelecha v'ichunecha. Yisa Adonai panavelecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep watch over you. The Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you his peace in the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Shabbat Shalom.